Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times. With all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for all of God's people. I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So we can pray in the Spirit. And there's a whole other different message, different morning, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, praying in our heavenly language. But right now, this morning, I'm talking about learning to listen to the Lord. If a person or a situation or a circumstance comes to mind, stop and pray for it. If there's an idea that pops into your head, stop and pray for it. If somebody says something to you and you go, I'll pray for you later, actually pray for them there. Don't say, I'll do it later. Stop and pray. Listen to the Lord, the promptings of the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you, even like this morning when we took time to pray for Nikki and for Tasha. There are other times in our individual lives when the Lord will lead us and bring people to mind and circumstances to mind. So I encourage you to stop and pray. Pray at all times. There's never an inappropriate time to pray. We can pray at all times and all circumstances, on all occasions, anywhere that we are. We can also have all kinds of prayer. There are different kinds of prayer. If you've read through the book of Psalms or understanding reading through Lamentations, you can see that it's filled with human emotion. That there are prayers of asking for clarity. There's prayers of celebration and victory. There's prayers of, I'll say it, but lament and even grumbling and complaining. But those ones always turn back to praise and adoration. And so the Psalms are filled with that, understanding that there are different kinds of prayers. Prayers of confession, prayers of adoration, prayers of worship, thanksgiving. The list goes on. Prayers of celebration and victory. We kind of had some of that today. We can also pray asking for everything we need. I think if we prayed as much as we worried, there'd be a lot less worry. Sometimes that's easier said than done. In the middle of worship, I had a phone notification that said alarm triggered in my truck, which is in Vancouver with my wife. No answer. And then I phoned Deanna, who's with her. Then there's no answer. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't want to panic, but what's going on? Why is my alarm triggered? And in between praying and worshiping and being out there and listening to what was going on here, just allowing the peace of the Lord to come as I still tried to find out what was going on. So sometimes it's easier to say than to do. But in the midst of it, the Lord intervened and just brought a calm to me. That sounds strange, but I have an app on my phone that lets me know when my car or truck has been triggered or something. Pray. We've been in this time of prayer, not just the 21 days of prayer, but right since the start of January, the season of prayer, of pursuing the Lord, of seeking Him. And that my prayer and hope is that it won't stop. That it's something that it will continue in momentum to move forward, to continue to grow and help us understand that we can come to the Lord at any time for anything. Nothing is off limits. Any issue we're carrying, any burden we have, anything going on, we can come and bring it to Him, whether that's relationship situations, financial issues, physical problems, and health-related things, like what's going on right now, individual and worldwide. We can bring anything and everything to Him at all times. Always. At the same time, we can always be ready and never give up. And so there's this understanding that we can have spontaneous prayers, and they are amazing to have spontaneous conversational prayers with the Lord. But it's also good to think through it, to be strategic, to move forward, understanding the what, the where, and the when. And always pray for God's people. If we're supposed to pray for everyone, it would be hard to do that if we only pray for a minute or two. So there's this understanding of continually being in prayer. So there are two different ways. If you have your outline, I left no blanks today. Meaning you can just kind of follow along if you need to. Two kinds of prayer. There's the running conversation with the Lord. That kind of conversation as you're doing things, as you're doing laundry or driving to the store. Or the other day we were having a prayer meeting and I saw Linda Pringle. She was doing something on the floor and picking up some stuff she saw. Sometimes when we pray and there's bulletins around, we pick them up and we throw them in the garbage on Monday evenings while we're praying. There's times when you can go in your garden or you can work on different things and projects. Or as you go to the grocery store and you walk in, I mean, you can pray in your heart. You can pray out loud too. Might look a little strange, but you can pray. You can always pray at all times. And you can keep that running conversation with the Lord. It's not formal. It's informal. It's kind of like in June 2015 when I came to Trail for the first weekend to preach here and to visit Carl and Betty who were here. I hadn't been here for a long time. And I drove over the cutoff, and I looked out here, and I went, Lord, what a beautiful place. You made this. Your works are so wonderful. And every time I drive from Montrose or wherever I am, and I drive down here, I just look out, and I go, I feel like I was lied to as a child, because I grew up in Creston. I was told that Trail was not like it looked, and maybe it wasn't, but in coming here and seeing what God has done in restoration, it's beautiful. Whereas I drive up the Nancy Green and I stop and I look out over there, it fills me with awe. And in my heart, I have this just informalized conversation that says, Lord, you are good. Or I like space. I told you that last time. Watching documentaries on space travel. And as I watch them, I'm like, Lord, space is so vast. And you know all these planets and these billions of galaxies. And yet you know me. Thank you. Just that informal circumstances as you travel, as you go about your business. We can talk to him anywhere, anytime, about anything. As the Spirit leads. The second kind of prayer is scheduled prayer. Say what we've been doing for the 21 days is scheduled prayer. But it's not a new idea, something in the Old Testament that they used to do all the time. Daniel kneeled in prayer 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. In Psalm 119, David says, 7 times a day, I praise you. And so this morning, it's not about bringing duty or a legalistic view of prayer, but it's maybe giving another tool that helps you have prayer as your first resort, not your last resort. So that prayer is our first resort, not our last resort. So each of us have a routine. But most of us have to get out of bed, eat breakfast, go about our day, whether it's at home or at work or at school. Depending on what's going on, we might have a break in between breakfast and lunch. And then again, depending on where you're at, you'll have some downtime in the afternoon or maybe a mid-afternoon break if you're at work. Some time in the evening, and then you go to bed. Unless I miss something, that's most of us. Unless you're fasting or unless, yeah, that's most of us. We have that typical understanding that we can use the Lord's Prayer, the 7 phrases in the Lord's Prayer, as reminders to come before the Lord, to talk with him, to spend 30 seconds, a minute, 5 minutes or more, scheduled through the day. It's something that we can learn to do. We can learn to pray. And it's not about ritual or duty or legalism. It's just a tool. So we can wake up with gratitude. We can wake up in gratitude. In the morning when we get up, before we go and do anything else, we can either choose to be grumpy. We can choose to complain. We can choose to be frustrated, because it is a choice. I have to choose too. I don't like being awakened by other people. My alarm is set to birds chirping and nice waterfall noise. And sometimes outside, the birds make the same noise. And I'm like, it's 2 hours before my alarm. Why is my alarm going off? Because it's just something that's peaceful. Because I don't like to be awakened. And so I have to choose to wake up with gratitude. I would think that you would also have to choose. They talked about it at Thanksgiving, but studies show about how gratitude changes things. It can help us be a little healthier. And so why not wake up in the morning with thankfulness that we can come to our Father, our Abba, the one who meets our needs, who comes and stands with us in intimacy, that we can get up in the morning before we even move. We can think of his goodness, not bring confession or request, but to think of his goodness. Just think about that for a moment, to think of his goodness. In James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And so the first thing, we thank our Father in heaven for his consistent love. We recall all of the things that we're thankful for. We thank our Father in heaven for his consistent love. And we recall all of the ways that he's been good to us. Secondly, we can bless God's name at breakfast. It means to honor, to give respect, to bring adoration in us. And we can actually real, so we adore him. We can bless him. We can come when we eat breakfast and we can actually realize that his name is holy. Psalm 145:2 says, every day I will bless your name. So it's not just on Sunday. It's every day that we're able to come and say, Lord, I bless you. I praise your name. You are holy. That we can do that. And most of us do that throughout the day. This is just another tool. Again, in the Psalms, over 80 times, there's this idea, bless the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give thanks to the name of the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord. God's name is praised over and over because in Scripture, the understanding of a name, whether it was the Lord's name or any name, shows character, shows who that person is. And it's the same with the names of the Lord, God's names. It brings about part of who he is so that we can understand him. We can know him. So we bless his name. They represent a quality. So last week I talked about Abba. He says, I'm your Abba. I'm your loving Father who knows you intimately. He says, at the same time, there's so many words. I think there's over 100 names in Hebrew and Greek, or 100 facets of who God's character. Most of them are related to his qualities or his nature. So he says, LDA, I'm the God who knows you and I know everything. So if he knows us, he knows our needs, he knows our heart, he knows our frailty, he knows everything about us. He knows everything. And so again, as part of his character, going, Lord, I trust you. You know all things. I don't know anything. Again, we can come to him with that. It's also understanding that he is our healer, Jehovah Rapha. All of us can use healing, mental, physical, emotional. We know others who are in those situations. And so he is our healer, again, as part of his character and nature. And at breakfast, we can actually bless him, begin to understand more of who he is. He says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. So he has all of the power that we need. He has the strength that we need. We don't need to muster it up in ourselves. He is our strength. He is our provider. Provider of everything we need for life. and godliness, it says in Peter. He is our peace. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Tzidkenu means I'm your righteousness. So we don't have to earn our righteousness. He is our righteousness. We honor and bless the name of the Lord at breakfast time. I said it last time, prayer isn't based on how much we know about prayer. It's based on how much we know about God. And that as we come to Him, I don't know about you, but as I read of His name and I read those things, I'm reminded of the promises that they contain. Just like when He says, I know you and I know everything. It gives comfort to me. I hope it would give comfort to you. And so that's the idea of coming to Him. And when we have any problem with our identity, we don't know what we're supposed to do or who we're supposed to be or any of those things, it's also because we don't know who the Lord is. Does that make sense? Because the more we actually know who He is, the more we know who He's made us to be, who He's called us to be. When we look at the names of the Lord, it's saying, do we really know who He is? Psalm 9:10, it says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you. So we wake up with gratitude. We can go to breakfast. Again, if you have children in your home, it's probably a little more chaotic than that. You go to breakfast. You adore the Lord, bring adoration to Him, praise Him. The day goes on, you know, maybe we need a little break in the morning. Whether you're at home, wherever you are, or day off, it doesn't matter. We need a little time, maybe coffee time, that we're able to actually come to the Lord and remind ourselves of what matters most. So thirdly, we remember what matters most. And I think if we did that, it would change things. It would change our perspective. Matthew 6:10, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So remember I said the phrases of the Lord's Prayer. We are reminded of what matters most. That we align ourselves with God's purpose and plans for our life. We can say, Father, I want your agenda and not mine. May your will be done and not mine today. Help me to understand your purpose for my life this morning. Help me to understand your purpose for mankind. I surrender to you. It's simple, but it's from our heart, out our mouth, to say to the Lord, here I am again. Matthew 6:33. If you seek God's kingdom and His righteousness, so that's His plan, His purpose, His agenda. If we seek God's kingdom first, it says all the other things will be given to you as well. Something that all of us probably wrestle with. We go, well, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough ability to get something done. I struggle with that too. It was one of the struggles of why I almost didn't do 21 days of prayer. Because I thought, how in the world am I going to do that and be here every day? And the Lord said, just do it. You'll see. If we say those things, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough energy, all those things, if we put His agenda first, He changes things. He makes everything work itself out. Now that's not to be mistaken. It's like the times when I used to want to lose weight. And I'd be like, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Help me lose weight. And I'd eat a pizza and a liter of ice cream. So I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about He'll work everything together and so I could just stuff my face and think I'm going to lose weight. It doesn't work like that. You laugh, but that's what I used to do all the time. He makes everything else take care of itself when we put him first. So we are reminded of what matters most, saying, Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done. Fourthly, we can list our needs at lunch. Again, just tools. Just thinking through natural breaks in the day. That at lunchtime we can come to the Lord and bring our needs to him. It's called petition. We can come and bring our needs. At the same time, we can come and bring others' needs. That's called intercession. Asking on behalf of yourself is petition. It's praying for others. That's intercession in that sense. The simplest understanding of it. It's like when the nation of Israel was brought out of Egypt and they needed sustenance every day. They were given manna every day, bread. Manna means, what is it? Manna. They were given bread every day. And then when they tried to make it last longer than one day, it would rot. Because it was actually understanding that they had to come back to the Lord on a daily basis. So we can come and say, Father, give me what I need today. You gave me strength yesterday. I need more strength today. I'll come back tomorrow and ask again. In that understanding, that when we say, give us this day our daily bread, it's the understanding that he is the one who gives us all things. I've talked about it before when we started this series, this season. This idea that if the Lord didn't intervene, there's some understanding in this scripture. If the Lord doesn't intervene, there would be no provision. So again, he is our provider and he gives us what we need. Again, it's one of those things. Maybe you're in a business or a job or something, and you have a boatload of stuff to do. You have a great deal of things to get done, major decision, other things going on, and or you know there's conflict coming, or you know there's some kind of meeting that needs to occur. What do you do? Do you worry about it and get frustrated, or do you come to the Lord and go, Lord, I need help. I need wisdom. I need strength. I need understanding. So we ask for anything we need and we ask for what others need. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, don't get anxious about anything. Does it say don't get anxious about a few things? Don't get anxious about anything. Instead, in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a promise. Something that we're able to come before him, even when we are anxious, to say, Lord, I give you my anxieties. I know I've said it before, but the understanding when it says cast your cares upon him for he cares for you, or cast your anxieties on him, there's this idea of violently throwing it to the Lord like you're shot putting. That's the idea behind it. You cast your cares on him. There's emotion in that. Some of us, myself included, emotions hard publicly. But we can still be emotional with the Lord privately. It reminds me of when I was at Bible college and I was faced with this tremendous decision. And I was upset because I wanted the Lord to make a choice for me. And he told me that if whatever choice I made, he'd be with me in the choice, but each choice would change the outcome of my life at that point. And that made me upset. And I remember I was in my room by myself at the Bible college, and I was really, really upset and almost yelling at the Lord. And I had my bed and I was banging it against the wall, and I'm like, Lord, and I was really upset and anxious and concerned because I wanted him to make a choice. And eventually he came and he just calmed me down and he said, I'm with you in this. I'll be with you in the change of the outcome. So all of us, we can come and Like, I didn't do that in front of other people. That might have gotten me arrested, maybe. It was me and the Lord. And anybody else that heard me making a bunch of noise. So we got out of bed. We had breakfast. We've had a little break. We've been reminded of the things that matter most. We've been able to bless the name of the Lord, to wake up with gratitude. And we've been able to come and bring him all of our needs. So then, you know, if you're thinking in your own day-to-day, whether you're at work or at home, after lunch you can come before the Lord. And maybe you've been at work and your coworker has said something that hurt you or offended you, or there's some other issue going on that's been frustrating or difficult. And so you can come to the Lord after that. Maybe children or a spouse or something, there's been some kind of tension or conflict or frustration. And so after lunch, you can come and ask for forgiveness. So hear me out on this. If you're at work, you can get up and use the washroom and just say, Lord, search my heart. Is there anything today that's just not right? Show me where I need a clear conscience. Show me where I'm holding things towards someone else. Is there anything willful or unknowing that's hindering my intimacy with you? Is there anything that's causing my relationships with others to need a restart? Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That we don't want to carry any garbage in. So it's understanding like this. I'm a human being. I do get hurt. There has been times in my life, in ministry specifically, when I've been hurt by people. When things that have been said have cut like a knife. When things that have been found out have hurt. And when I was first in ministry and first born again, I held grudges. And it destroyed me, almost removed me from ministry. I held grudges towards my parents. They weren't saved at the time. They had stepped away from the Lord. And in my heart, I was so angry that I didn't care whether they got saved. I was very, very angry. I was filled with bitterness. And I didn't realize it. And I kept going, Lord, what's wrong? I'm just so angry all the time. And as things have gone on and the Lord has walked me through process of healing and restoration and different things related to forgiving others, you know, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's this phrase. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sin as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. That's what this is, this portion, that we're able to come. And so there's been times, even here, and I talked to somebody the other day just about something that had been said in the past. And I remember in hearing it and reading the text message and then hearing the conversation, that it was like instantly I was just agitated. I came back to my office and I spent some time there just a little upset. And I had to actually say, Lord, that hurt me. But I forgive them. I release them. Lord, help me so that I can walk in this forgiveness. But I'll tell you, 8 years ago, I probably would have punched something in my office. I know you may be shocked at that, but I would have done that. I would have been so agitated at that hurt that came at me. But it's keeping short accounts with the Lord and saying, Lord, search my heart. What relationships need some tweaking? Matthew 6:12, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's a kind of prayer as well. It's a kind of confession. So again, we've had adoration or thanksgiving. We've had petition. We've had dedication. Now we have confession, that we can own up to our own wrong actions, that we can forgive those who frustrated us or hurt us or harmed us, and either unintentional or intentional. Because we don't want to hold grudges, because hurt actually destroys us. So we admit our wrongs and we forgive those who frustrated us or hurt us. Psalm 32:5. I confess my sins to you and didn't try to hide them. Then you forgave me, and now all my guilt is gone. The sixth thing we can do in the afternoon, almost finished. We can ask God to help us make wise decisions. This idea of lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. I mean, there's a whole message involved in each of these points. But we can use the Lord's wisdom in making right decisions. He can help us to not make dumb decisions. Gives us wisdom. It's like some children do this, but some children like to lick everything. With the stuff that's going on right now, it would be unwise to lick everything. I mean, as adults, we don't do that. But there's other things we do that might not be wise, and so we ask God for wisdom. I know the pictures. We come to him because he has a great promise. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what other people experience. So we all go through common temptations. Jesus was tempted. To be tempted is not sin. To give in to temptation is sin. If you continue to read on in Corinthians, he provides a way out for us to stand under temptation. But we can watch and pray. We can rely on him to provide that way out. And the final thing we do is we can end our day with the encouraging truth before we go to bed. The end of the Lord's Prayer is kind of a benediction. It means it's a good word. It's like when I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. That's a benediction, to a blessing, a good word. And so the end of the Lord's Prayer, some translations don't have it in there, but it's the understanding that for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's a benediction, a good word. And in that, we can come to the Lord and understand there's three things in there. God is in control. Politicians aren't. Nations aren't. God is the one who is in charge of our own lives and in charge of kings and nations and rulers. Our employers aren't in charge. God ultimately is. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. We also know from that is that it's not the end of the story. And thirdly, God and his family win. I've read the end of the book. God wins. Corrie Ten Boom said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. And if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. So it depends who are you looking at. Who are you looking at? Can end our day saying, God, you're in control. I know this isn't the end of the story. I know that you win in the end and that you give us victory. Lord, I look forward to that day. Help me to sleep. See you in the morning. It's simple. Maybe some days we forget to do that. But this is just a tool. It's not duty or something that must be followed or else. Because the Lord's Prayer isn't just ritual. It's something that we can learn from. Proverbs 10:27 in the Living Bible says, reverence for God adds hours to each day. So when we give things to the Lord, time goes further. He stretches time, I'll say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.